This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Another episode of the Hot Nerd Podcast. Before we jump into today's episode, do me a favor, head over to the website www.thehotnerd.com. Follow along on all that social media stuff. The easiest way to get a hold of me is just on LinkedIn. You can see my ugly mug under Sam Goodman. And make sure you go check out the latest book. I was going to say new, but it's not super duper new. I think I pushed it out back in August or something. 10 Ideas to Make Safety Suck Less. Getting a lot of amazing feedback on the book. So I think it'll bring value to you. And if you like it, love it, hate it, whatever, somewhere in between, do me a favor. Once you pick it up, once you read it, head back over to Amazon and leave it a review. And if you need any help with any of this Hop Learning Teams kind of sort of stuff, again, the website, www.thehopnerd.com, or just send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. I've got a lot already going on the calendar for next year, and I'd love to be a part of your journey. It would be an honor, my pleasure, to help you in any way that I can start on or go farther on your journey. So with all that out of the way, I'm going to jump right into the episode because these folks need no introduction, and I'm sure I've already listed them in the title. There's no introduction needed here. Let's just jump right into this amazing conversation.
I got to do that now or I'll
forget. So we don't forget.
I'm real good at that.
You don't want to be like my cab driver from the airport last night. We were halfway home and he goes, "Oh no, I forgot to push the start button." So I got the trip for half price, but I gave him a good tip. So.
No, man.
Wow. That sounds like a pretty good deal. I don't know. That sounds
a rough day for him though. Well, maybe it's a good deal for him too in the end. I don't know.
So how's everybody doing?
Doing all right. How are you doing? Are you checking on technology right now? Is your technology giving you fits and starts?
Just making sure. So I will say that as we start, that if for some reason things drop, I'll be right back. It seems to happen. I can turn this thing on for like 4 hours with no one here. And then as soon as we start recording something, it drops my interface. It drops this, it'll drop that. And then I'll just disappear. So, I don't know.
But, I was just talking about that this morning, that's one of the weirdest parts about living in this computer hole is you could be presenting and then suddenly people just disappear. And that doesn't happen very often in person, you know?
That's pretty rare. Pretty rare.
I mean, it's pulled out of the conference room by force.
It's like a real weird phenomenon to be like, well, I don't know where they went. They're just gone. Yeah.
That'd be interesting. That'd be like, what was that old movie, Left Behind? Something like that, where you just like disappear.
Glad Bob knows the reference because I don't.
That would be a very interesting presentation if people start disappearing into the sky. Just
you remember it though. You remember that one.
Yeah, I think it'd be newsworthy. That's for sure. So, what have you guys been up to?
We've been busy. Matt, we've been busy.
My entire life is now in this office. I moved in. I have a little bunk on the top that I just sleep in, and that's what it feels like some days. But
yeah,
and Bob just came back from Mexico, right?
Mexico City for the week. And Sam, so it's really interesting. You know, for 2 years we were just kind of all locked into this computer hole, right? And we all figured out ways to make this happen. And now, you know, going back into motion, which I love going to places in person. But then Andy and Matt and I find ourselves doing like crazy things, like work in person during the day and then do some things with Australia, you know, from, well, it's just 7 to 11. It won't be that bad, you know. And then we're end of the day, we're just drained. But it's going good, though. I mean, it's really exciting to see more and more people on this journey and sort of shifting the way they even run their organization, you know, beyond safety. You know, this HOP stuff goes kind of everywhere, but yeah. So it's really good.
Yeah. Those time differences get a little wacky. I just did the Brisbane Safety Differently book club the other night. And I say night because, well, it's technically morning for me because it was like 2 a.m. It was really, a really wacky time. Yeah. It was well worth it. And, you know, I'm sure you guys know Steve Harvey and Josh Bryant and all those folks over there. Just amazing people. It was well worth it to get to hang out with them, but it was still like 2 a.m. That was a really bad day the next day.
Then you had to go to work.
Yeah, then back right back to work, right back to doing stuff, like normal stuff.
Yeah.
Brutal.
So what are we talking about today? I think we were going to talk about community, right? Hop community stuff. Is that
that
what's on the thing? What do you guys got around the hop community? Or maybe we should start with just general thoughts on the state of the hop community. I don't know.
Ooh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
State, I don't know. Bob, what are your thoughts on the state of the hop community of this group of people all kind of, we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to like navigate our organizations, trying to change frames of reference and mental models, navigate what that means and how we do things differently, but with each person only having so much control or so much influence to make change, and then having to just focus in on what they can control, but then sometimes being frustrated with what we can see but don't have any control over. I don't know, but what are your thoughts? I have 100.5 thoughts, but
yeah. So when you think about communities anywhere, right? Why do we have communities? It's relatively thinking similar anyway. We think the same ish, not exactly, right? You know, no real requirement. Actually, we probably don't want to all just think the same. That might be dangerous. But people that are sort of like-minded pull together with this common sort of mission, and then communities become towns, and towns become cities, and cities become nations, right? And so it feels like there's a need for us to be able to connect with other people in this space, because there's a lot of times I think we even question, is this really happening? And are we really a part of this? And community helps us sort of say, yep, we're gonna be okay, right? And when I hear your stories and you hear Matt's stories and Matt hear Todd Conklin's story, right? We hear each other's stories, it starts to help us, I think, believe that in fact this change is happening. Because there's still a lot of times you're at a site and they'll ask you straight up, like, does our leadership know this? Are they really on board with this? Because this is not how our company is run. And so, yeah, I think the community piece of it right now is really important, because it helps encourage people to stay in the game. Don't give up even when it gets hard. That's my thought.
And I don't know. I mean, I think Matt probably could see this in joining this group more than we could see it, but I think there's a lot of isolation. Mm-hmm. And when we're trying to make a change, and some people that are advocates for these concepts, you might be the only person advocating at your site, or maybe in your division, or maybe for the entire company, and it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And you kind of feel sometimes like you're going crazy, because it seems like your thought process is different than everyone else's around you. And although you have conviction that it's the right thing to do, over time you start to think, well, maybe it's not, because why isn't everyone else seeing it the way that I'm seeing it? And we had like a loose group of people that we would, you know, would meet with once a month if they, you know, just wanted to hang out and talk to other people and ask questions. But I guess it started to feel like maybe not enough connection, because, you know, Bob, you and I, in doing some of this work, sort of became a bit of the glue to tie people together, but it didn't mean we were necessarily so good at doing it all the time. Like, we tried really hard to connect people, but we sort of became the bottleneck of the process of connecting people. And that didn't quite feel like the right way to do it.
It started in COVID really big time, right? Because everybody was feeling isolated. And so I remember this conversation. We're Todd and Andy and Mark Gueston and Martha, you know, our little consortium, we got together like, well, what do we do here? And we weren't real sure. And then actually on the front porch of my house, my wife said, well, why don't you and Andy just offer a conversation with people? So that Tuesdays at 2 was kind of our first attempt to help with community. And then it was like every week, wasn't it, Andy, for quite a while?
For every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, Eastern.
It was just a session for people to get together and talk things through. And then, even though I call COVID stupid COVID, because it is stupid COVID, one of the things that came out of it was this need for connection became really apparent. And then it just has kind of grown from there. I think there's probably some other people out there too that are trying to pull people together in the safety differently space or whatever. I think that's good. So I guess it sort of emerges like with complexity, right? Yeah. Matt, what are your thoughts? Because you join this hop community, kicking and screaming and pulling back the whole way, but you finally joined it, right?
I think it's fascinating for me not being a part of the safety world. I mean, I guess I am now by association.
Whether you like it or not, you got pulled
but,
in.
You know, coming from the, I guess, more of the business side, it was so interesting on our first I guess it was our second or third in person together, but you see people at the end of each day, like it's almost like in a movie where they get to the door and they look back and they're like, thank you. Like that meant something to me. And then that's usually day one. And then by day two or day three, you start to see that. I think generally now, 2022, it's just a pretty introspective time for everywhere. And I think people who are in industry and are naturally introspective feel like hop gives them a lot of really good direction or answers, or at least a place to go and try to find those things. So for me, being a part of where we are now and seeing the hard work that it took to get here and hearing the stories, and then looking at where we're also maybe meeting with companies that are slightly outside of what we typically meet with, and seeing that it doesn't just stop with safety, and that anyone that's kind of being introspective of where their business is or where their team is or where they are in the work world is seeing how helpful and relatable these principles can be. And so the hop community was a place for anyone who's trying to either hold themselves accountable or bring about change. I mean, the amount of times we get asked, like at the end of a session, well, what now? Where do I go? How do I learn more? Can you connect me with someone? It was a natural sort of progression of that. And so we put some thought into an easy mechanism to get everyone connected. And here we are. Yeah. And it seems to be a pretty good place.
Yeah. So maybe we should even explain, Sam, that what the hop community, I mean, it's actually a thing now. Like you can go to the hop community, because I don't know that we've really defined that. We're talking like everybody knows what it is.
Right.
But it's actually something that was the brainchild of Andy and Matt in an attempt to help provide a place, just an open, free space for people to, and no mean people are allowed, right? We don't need trolls in there. We don't need anybody in there like digging at us because we think different than the old school stuff or whatever. None of that. It's just people on this journey pulling together and hanging out. And there's an actual website with what is it you use, Matt, that makes it easy for people to connect? What's it called?
Yeah, so we use Slack as the instance. It's hopcommunity.org is where you could go and learn some more about it. And to Bob's point, we ask people like ask to join, not because we're going to say no, but because we just want everyone to know that like this is a place where no one is going to solicit anything, and we just ask that you be kind and respectful, and that's it. We want to make sure that's agreed upon, and then welcome everyone in to the group. And it's through Slack. It's a pretty straightforward instance of Slack. There's nothing crazy. We decided on a couple of channels, or you could call them like
topics
or meeting rooms, whatever you want to consider them, that we thought were relevant. But I mean, we are also always taking feedback and what people think will be helpful. But we wanted to create something that's in real time. And Andy called this out. We find a lot of people use it outside of work hours.
Yeah, they use it at night. Most of the folks that, you know, are posting things, we find that it's in their nighttime, right, wherever they are in the world, which I found fascinating, because that means like this is something I'm so excited about, right? I'm going to bed and I'm thinking I should ask the community something about this. And so anyway, I find that fascinating that a lot of the discussion is happening, you know, outside of people's regular work hours. So our hope, I think, was in doing this is just to create a place where people could ask each other things, right? Could find out that they weren't alone in trying to do something, could recognize that we have similar sorts of difficulties that we are trying to face and we're trying to walk through. And then, you know, maybe in the future, it also is a place where, as we start to see common problem statements throughout different industries, we have a chance to throw around, you know, brainstorming of solutions, that there's a group of people that, you know, have access to others that can crowdsource options for how we're actually addressing something, because we're all kind of thinking about solutions in the same way, right? We're not trying to make a human a better human, right? We're saying, okay, well, there's just fundamental limitations of like, and fundamental advantages of humanity. And so let's work in accordance with that instead of against it. And so with enough people kind of thinking from that lens, well, then how we brainstorm and how we're bringing people into that conversation probably lets us come up with some pretty creative solution sets for things together. Yeah. So yeah, that was the intent. It's not complicated. I mean, it's not complicated. It's a Slack instance, and it's just, right. But it's kind of cool. The conversation, right? So similar to the concept, I think, of operational learning, like the concept itself is not hard. It's the conversation. That's what's important.
Yeah. So I think to a few things that were said there that I think really stand out to me, just me in particular, and we're talking about safety folks a little bit there, right? And Matt, you kind of coming into it, you know, as a non-safety person and your perspective. I think that's really interesting because I know as I've seen you guys, I'd be interested to hear if you've seen this, but safety often tends to be the endpoint for a lot of these kind of concepts, right? And it usually spreads after that, but it's kind of the endpoint. And I don't know if it's common, at least my personal experience and a lot of practitioners that I talk to, it seems to be common, is that there's a lot of these kind of lone wolf safety practitioners that exist throughout organizations. Either they're far, far and away from their nearest corporate counterpart, or they're like the only one that exists for that organization. And then especially in smaller organizations, there might just be one person. So they're already kind of isolated and thinking differently about things, even in a more traditional sense of safety matters, right? So they already kind of feel isolated, and then they find themselves in this really wacky position of going, holy crap, everything that I thought, I'm thinking differently now. So now I'm way out there, right? I'm way, at least in thinking, you know, entirely.
Right. And it might not even align with what the operations team is thinking, right? So the closest people right. to them, not even in safety space, it's not even aligning with what they're thinking. So now I'm super isolated.
Exactly. You're living on Mars, right? It feels like you're living on Mars. So to see this kind of community emerge, and in the past, it's been through existing mechanisms, I guess, right? So you see these kind of little small bubbles of people kind of emerge on like LinkedIn and different social media platforms, but they're so inconsistent, I guess. I don't know. You really have to purposely seek to do that. You have to try to sort through the mounds of garbage on LinkedIn and find people that you would like to speak with and pull into a small community. So I think what you're doing is amazing. I think that's absolutely amazing because I still come across people that contact me, as I'm sure you guys do too, where there's like, I was Googling hot because I had no clue what it was. And I found you and I wanted to talk to somebody because I couldn't find anybody else to talk to. Right. So to have a community out there where that thought's kind of being captured, I think that's really important. And, you know, thinking of it in a more simplistic way, it's almost like a community notebook, right? Where you can kind of just jot down thoughts and learnings and things that you want to share with that community. And it acts as a body of knowledge that you can then reflect upon and take forward on other things that you might have not kind of worked through yet in your organization's journey. I think that's important. I think there's a certain element that's interesting with kind of concurrent problem solving, where two groups are solving problems unaware mm-hmm. that the others are solving. And then you can kind of compare and contrast notes. I think that's interesting from maybe just an examination standpoint, but it's not very practical, right? If someone else is already solving an issue that you're working on.
Right. The perspectives are super important to have diverse perspectives, but right. to be able to align on the problem and then just, and actually be able to hear diverse perspectives, then that yeah. becomes, and it's super hard to do. So there's so many people around the world trying to do this, but the energy and effort it's taken to try to allow people to talk with each other that are trying to do this, it seemed too hard. Seemed too
way. Yeah.
And then even if you were kind of, I don't know if brave is the right word, but brave enough to put something out into the, fling it into the internet, like on LinkedIn, half the time we were dealing with people who are just trying to rip something down instead of being productive, which I'm all for diverse perspectives, but the idea that we're trying to actually have a conversation versus, hey, we're just trying to fling things at each other.
You set it up like in a
better way, maybe better is the wrong word, but an easier way, a more accessible way for people to be able to talk.
It's the incentive's different, right? And so in a community like that, I mean, the incentive is learning and sharing And in LinkedIn, a lot of times the incentive is likes and attention. Mm-hmm. So typically, a lot of ways, the way that you can do that is by being as controversial, as disagreeable as possible.
Right? Yeah. Right? And just like Hop, it's not exclusive to this community, that idea that LinkedIn is just, I got to see what I can say that is either the most agreeable or the most controversial to try to get mm-hmm. attention. I mean, that's in every part of LinkedIn. I mean, I was in sales. I've been a part of the software space for a really long time, and it's everywhere. I mean, everyone's right. posting this stuff to try to get clicks and likes. And
I feel like what you're doing is important because, you know, LinkedIn just kind of naturally emerged because it was there and already business focused, I think. Right. Mm-hmm. It kind of emerged as like the sharing platform, but it's just not really good at it. So to have something that's really designed, and as we were kind of talking with a different incentive that's powerful, right? I think that's powerful. And so you're growing a community around that piece of it. Sorry, I've got dogs going crazy in the background now.
That's okay.
That's how everybody knows this is real, right? So I've got you'll see dogs probably in a second, and then you'll probably see an 8-year-old. So that's just how this works. So everybody knows.
Love it.
But I think it's important, right? I think it's super important. I'm really glad to hear you guys are going on that path. What was the website again?
Hopcommunity.org.
Hopcommunity.
We're really good at naming things.
I typed it in my name block there, Sam. I don't know if you can see my image on Zoom.
I can see it. There we go. Look at that.
Nice.
Look at that.
Hey, you, Bob, using technology to your advantage here.
That's all I know how to do.
Yeah, and I feel like that's really important, as we're kind of saying from the isolation standpoint. I didn't want to lose that thought either. We're kind of mm-hmm. talking about, you know, safety practitioners that are typically from the community that I spend time in, just with safety practitioners in general, hop focused or otherwise, right? They've typically felt pretty isolated over their careers as it is, and organizations haven't done a really good job of maybe trying to counter that for them or helping them, assisting them through that. And then again, adding in that bit of thinking differently makes it that much worse. Mm-hmm. And then you throw I'll use Bob's term, stupid COVID on top of that. I'm going to end up getting like one of those COVID banners if I keep saying COVID. You can see on top of Spotify podcast or something. But you throw that in there, now they're super isolated. And for many of them, you know, their kind of passion piece is walking around, hanging out, work, you know, hanging out around work. And now a lot of times those folks couldn't do that. They're kind of stuck in their bedroom closet with a laptop trying to hide from their kids and do Zoom meetings, you know. And so then I think you did see a lot of that kind of online stuff start to emerge there as we were kind of talking around like LinkedIn stuff. You started seeing a couple different meetup kind of things happening, virtual meetup kind of things happening. But I guess to tie this back into hopcommunity.org, there we go. Thanks for putting that up there, Bob, because I wouldn't have remembered it again. hopcommunity.org. I think that it really kind of pulls that stuff together too, right? Because I would assume that there's some of that intent, right? Like if you guys are having these calls, you're going to probably share some of that information there, right? That you're going to have these calls, people come hang out, right? If you're going to be
So and anyone on the stuff. Tuesday calls, right, we happen once a month. There's a couple people around the globe that do them, which is fantastic, right? So Zoe Nation does one for Australian time zone, and just having even something as simple as, I mean, I don't know, this is such a grassroots movement that we're super unorganized, right? And there's been people trying to organize small bits of things, but like even knowing when a hop conference is, people are like, have you heard about this? Have you, like, and now there's at least a place to be like, hey, this is a thing that I saw. If anyone wants to know, it exists, right? Here's a thing that, you know, people are gathering together around. Or, you know, if somebody happens to be traveling somewhere, like Sam, if you're going somewhere and, you know, there's people in that area that want to actually get together for dinner to just chat about stuff, well, now you actually have access to say, hey, I'm going here if anyone's around in the area.
Yeah, a place to plug into, right?
It's almost impossible, like that, you know, so it's not.
And one of the things we made sure when we created it was that anyone has the ability to invite anyone else. So once some of your organization's in and you're thinking, this is really helpful, I want everyone in my team to have access, it's like, yep, go ahead, just send it. We'll let them in, and we want them to be a part of it. We want everyone to be a part of it. And we're not going, you know, there's no advertisements about it. We want it to be somewhere. If you feel comfortable and you like it and you want to be a part of it, please join. And we'd love to have you, but we're not going to.
Yeah. The only rules are to be nice.
Be nice and don't
like it.
Don't try to sell anything. Yeah. And then we're good. Right.
That's pretty good. That's
and you can good. Disagree.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, psychological safety kit, capacity for candor. Disagreement is good, right? It's mm-hmm. not, it's just disagreement versus, you know.
Yeah,
there's a difference.
Being disagree, dissent, debate, not mutilate, throw rocks at, destroy.
Right. No, like a, right. I'm kind of my, my family or my values, or you're allowed to do that.
Because that seems to be where the conversation devolves to, right? Is you support hop? You are a terrible person. No, I've not seen it. I've not seen it go that far, but pretty close. I think pretty close. The internet's a strange place.
Yeah, you can get pretty
close. That's for sure. What else do you guys have going on? So we've been talking a lot about hopcommunity.org, and I think when we chatted before, I told you I was going to make you talk a little bit about Hoptimize, right? I was going to throw that in there. So I think that's super important too.
Yeah. We can, if you want. It's, it's an attempt. Let's back up for a second. Cause I think for, a long time, myself included, in this hop space, we tend to throw stones at software. So if we're talking about throwing stones, right, tend to throw stones at software. And there's good reason for a lot of it. And it's the software tools that we have been given that have been used in organizations. They tend to be sometimes super Tayloristic, right? Sometimes forcing people to think about causality, like root cause, and forcing people, like it pushes people in directions that tend to be away from the mental models that we try to create in the SOP space. And so
they're not even usable. Some of them are so difficult, seven layers deep. Remember your password, right? So they're not even user friendly. And I don't throw stones at them. I throw boulders at them because I'm an old maintenance guy. And I'm a maintenance manager for years. I don't have time to go. I don't remember my password. And so you're not going to get much from me, Sam. If I have to do all of that to give you a near miss, I'll tell you in passing, or maybe I just wanted to worry about it. Right. So there's no telling how much we have missed in an attempt to provide software tools. I was just at a site recently. I think they listed off like 6 or 7 software tools that they expect everybody to use, all of them with their own logins, their own. I mean, it's like, so you think about people out there trying to get work done. So very few people, and they said that, like, people don't really seem to use them much, you think, right? So then we put these requirements on people. We must have 10 near misses per month or whatever. Then you just get a lot of garbage. And so when Andy first started, I'm just setting this up so you understand that I was not a part of this, other than Andy said, I want to give this a try. I'm very much a sort of against all this software stuff. So the fact that I like this, not that it matters to anybody, but this thing is so easy to use that even an old maintenance guy like me is like, you know what? This might actually be kind of handy because I can get some information out there pretty quickly. And someone could ask some information to my operations folks pretty quickly. And so I think it has a lot of potential. And you can go on and explain, but I just want to set this up and also know this, Sam, there's so much just garbage data in these software tools that we have now, and we will trend, we'll do Paretos, we'll do pie charts off of basically garbage data. Yeah. We'll set up strategic initiatives off of data that is fundamentally flawed. And so to have more, and anybody who knows me knows that I'm really passionate about the voice of the worker. And so a person who's close to the work that can say, hey, here's something that the organization needs to know. And it's that easy. Like what, 2 clicks, is it, Andy, to get to it? So that's why I think this is promising. Now, go ahead, Andy. I'm sorry. I just had to.
No, it's good.
I'm not throwing stones. He's got a trebuchet over there. Jeez. He's
Ooh, I say brilliant.
So in my view, I would have told you probably 5 or 6 years ago that my statement probably would have been like, well, yeah, software is just not really necessary in this space. And there's a piece of me that still has a bit of that feeling. And it's because software can't replace what we do in person. Mm-hmm. And so that's important. But I don't think there was any software that was tailored to what we were trying to do. that there might be, and there's some homegrown solutions that people have shown me, which are fantastic, right? So they're brilliant. But the what we're trying to do in this hop space, right, is to have a voice, the voice of the worker, be magnified, and then also to be able to sort of make connections between things, recognizing that, you know, the relationships between stuff is not super, super simple. And it dawned on us that there isn't a really good way of doing that at scale. And so organizations that have been on this journey for a while, they get really good operational learning in pockets. But it's difficult. The same way it's we need a community of people, but the community was difficult to access, difficult to find, difficult to connect. The same thing was happening with the knowledge of operational learning, of things that were coming out of learning teams, of the knowledge that people close to the work had. It's there. It's just sometimes difficult to connect. And it takes a lot of energy to gather and energy to see relationships between things. And people in the space are putting a lot of time and energy doing that. And it's fantastic. And they're making inroads in places that we've never made inroads before, and coming up with solution sets to things and mitigation defenses that haven't even existed in history before. But it's exhausting because nothing is set up to make it easy. Nothing that we have organizationally is designed with the same thought process in mind. So the hope was is that we didn't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, that like all software is terrible, but that is there a way for us to create something that is very different from the types of software that tends to exist, that it's not an attempt to replace people. It is a way to augment how much information we can retain and learn and connect. And it's a way to sort through large amounts of information and see connections faster than we would have kind of going line by line. So the right. idea of the software is super simple. You have, you know, the people out in the field, really easy ways. Like, Bob, we didn't even give you instructions on how to use it, right? We just told you, here's the name of the app, download it and see if you can do it. And Bob was able to do it. So that's my test. Test if Bob can do it. And like within a couple clicks, you can talk about something that's frustrating, something that's dumb, something that's different, something. Hey, and so that's just easy to gather information. But then what's awesome is that you can actually ask each other questions, right? So if there's something that doesn't seem like it makes sense, or maybe we've changed something, right? Maybe we tried to put a control out in the field and there's a bunch of people affected by it. And it's just really hard to get all those people in the same room, or it's hard to, the software allows you to just ask those people a question and it comes to their phone, and just be like, hey, teach us, is it working? Is it not working? Send us a video of it. What is it? What does it look like? And then all of that information, the person who would normally digest that to get the feedback to say, okay, do we need to pull people together to do some more operational learning, or like what's working well or what's not working well? That's also exhausting because you're trying to connect a bunch of information line by line. You get stuff scribbled in a notebook. You get stuff, you know, a bunch of emails of things, right? Maybe you sent out a survey, like a one question survey, and you're trying to go through that line by line. And all of that was really hard to do. And so how the information is organized on the back end, it's organized in a searchable, manipulative word cloud. So you can start to see, you can see things that are trending, right? If you ask a question and somebody's frustrated with a certain process or a piece of equipment, you can actually see that that's happening, and you can then dive into the details there. So it makes gathering information and asking questions a little bit faster, because we know it's the speed with which we can learn and improve that allows us to be resilient in the space. But then it also makes sorting through all that information a little bit easier to do. The software doesn't do it for you. It just presents information. You still have to use your brain, right? We still have to ask questions. Right. We still have to humbly inquire about things. We still have to be interested. It's not a replacement. But it just gives you information in a more digestible way and allows you to humbly ask questions faster than trying to go to 300 people and ask them each individually a question. I can at least request it humbly and say, hey, can you teach us what's going on? And then I can digest that information in a way that we know if we need to bring people together to have more conversation about it.
So Sam, you could even use this thing as a sort of a digital way of doing what Todd Conklin had us do early on with the 3x5 index card, right? He said, if you want to know where some of your hotspots are, your areas are, and they may not be showing your traditional software tools, he said, hand out a bunch of 3x5 cards at your next all-employee meeting and say, hey, where's the next accident going to happen? You know, we've done that. We've actually done that quite a few times now at different sites. And somebody has to sort all that out even. But here you can do that, and the system would help you sort that out. I mean, really, you know, anytime software actually helps me, I have to pay a little bit of attention to it, because most software just takes part of my life away from me, right?
Yeah.
And,
that's and your so, soul. A bit of your soul gets taken.
A little bit of my soul is just taken, right? And so once again, right, this is a situation where even the software company that Andy partnered up with us, they really listened to her, because she's bringing this forward as something to help us with the management of all this data, not something to take the place of our brains, right? This is something to help us just manage massive amounts of data from the front lines, which is so powerful. They will know things that is not in our... So think about this. Right now we have to go, remember your login, your password, and go 7 layers deep in the software, and you can enter your near miss or whatever your issue or your concern. Now you've got 2 clicks on a smart device, boom, you've got the information. Which one are you going to get more out of, right? So if you make it easy, people are more likely to use it. And then it's smart. So you can, some kind of AI algorithm stuff that they use, but they make it really easy to sort through this data and pull some stuff out that's just kind of noise in the way, and then to get into some of the areas that are, so you know, maybe a place to go do a deeper learning. Here's what I'm excited about too. I think that they will develop this software. I think it will emerge into a space where, you know, I do a ton of learning teams and I teach that methodology because it's so powerful, right, to unlock the complexity of work. And I think that this tool, as it grows, will eventually be able to help us in that space too, because we're learning more than we can really even digest in those learning teams, and how do we have a way to capture that easily and then be able to help us sort of look at how things are connected.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a couple things there that I find super interesting, or just kind of, I guess, points to highlight, is that as you're kind of talking about there, Bob, I know you guys know as well that so many times organizations, when they go down this kind of workforce mobility, kind of moving towards kind of app driven stuff, a lot of times what they do is they just kind of drag and drop their existing approaches to things just into a digital space. Yeah. Right? They're like, this checklist was great. Wait till we put it on the iPad.
Wait till we put it on your mobile device.
Yeah. We're going to throw it on the iPad and it's going to suck less because we put it on the iPad. And to your point, Bob, is then we don't have any like single sign-on stuff, and we have like 13 logins, and it's just another thing. Just more headache. It's just more safety work, right? Kind of back to some of those thoughts, I think. Just more administrative burden that doesn't really contribute to operational safety in particular, right? It might cover some other bases for the organization, but it's not. And for those folks looking at that going, I know this doesn't contribute to the safety of work, that's one less reason why I'm not going to want to do it, right? And then you throw it behind a bunch of headache and add some anxiety on top of that around maybe some compliance pieces with that, sprinkle that right on top. A lot of times what you see is, you just see, to your point on garbage data, is you just see people presenting the illusion of compliance while minimizing the amount of effort they have to do that, right? Wow. So it's because it's kind of driven as a thou shalt, right? Whether that's a checklist for this or event reporting for that or whatever. And so I think organizations then look at that and they say, well, the more of these kind of tracking points that I can put in here, these data points I can put in here, then I can take all that. And it gives me more opportunity to predict and prevent. If I can just examine that the days of the week hard enough that these things occur on, then maybe I can figure out, aha, things happen on Tuesday, right? and it won't really go much deeper than that, right? And who knows how accurate that is. It's usually wildly inaccurate, right? It's probably the key point there. But it kind of goes back to some of the measuring thing too, right? There's a lot of organizations I know that I'm very familiar with that spend time, you know, trying to look at the completion of these things as a measure, some numeric value of what safety is, right? That we did 1,000 checklists, so that means that we're definitely safe.
Right.
Thumbs up, right? We're doing really good. Where I think where Optimize really stands that on its head is, I don't see it as even in the same vein as kind of maybe those more traditional approaches, where in the past we're kind of looking at it as like a something to drive compliance or something to, I guess what I'm trying to say, so I'll stop rambling, because this stuff super excites me. Optimize really excites me. That's kind of what you guys have going on. But instead of viewing all that stuff as a measure, we don't need yet another yardstick, right? We need a looking glass. We don't need another measure. We need an end, right? We need something to look through and try to peer into more normal work. And I think that's more of what this provides, right? It's not just another data set to measure. It's a listening tool, right? It's an operational listening tool. You're trying to tune into those things where all that other stuff just hasn't really accomplished that for a large garbage bag full of reasons.
Right? Yeah. Well, Sam, the the whole notion of, well, first of all, it's super easy to do, but then we can ask questions. So I say this all the time. Maybe I'm kind of known for also not liking metrics, which is not, I mean, I don't want to be known for that, but it's just because I don't like metrics, right? So what I'm realizing is that, you know, people who run organizations, they have to have metrics. I know that. I mean, I grew up in industry, and that's so funny. Recently, Annie and I were at a place, and she said, you know, early in my career, 10 years ago, I got involved in HUP. And I'm like, early? That was late in my career when I got involved 10 years ago. But you know, I say this a lot now, like metrics without context, they scare me, right? Metrics without context are dangerous and actually can be even deadly because they can make you believe one thing when in fact you're headed off a cliff. Mm-hmm. So now you have this sort of a easy to use tool that's quite smart. And so if you're not sure, if you're a leader, if you're a manager or a director, you're like, oh, that was the best shutdown ever. We didn't have a single event, right? You can push that question out there. Hey, from the ground, for those of you that were there, from the turnaround, from the shutdown or whatever, what was it really like? Because our numbers show it was great, but what did it take to actually get this done 2 days early or whatever? And so now, and I think, Andy, it has the ability you can send stuff in without saying.
Correct. It can be anonymous, right? So if you have a question,
so
right?
Now we find out the best production day ever actually came really close to blowing up a piece of equipment, and a couple of guys went home because they're about to have a heart attack, right? So, but we didn't know that because the metric didn't show us that. The metric said, hey, best production day ever. But now I can question my metrics. And so to me, it's exciting from that perspective, because if I'm a manager and I get it, and I say, wait a minute, just seeing these numbers and these trends, oh, look, everything's green. You know, David Payne from Chevron said that quite a while back. He said, don't tell me how good we are. Tell me what should be, you know, making me nervous. Tell me what should be keeping me up at night. Tell me where the brittleness in the system is. That's how we get better. Now, a person like himself, who doesn't maybe easily have access to going out to meet with a bunch of people, could push that question out into that community and say, hey, where is the brittleness around this? So that number looked really good. Mm-hmm. Is it an indication that the process runs well, or were there a lot of challenges?
So the neat part, Bob, is that when that information comes in, if you happen to have a, we can look at everything like one at a time and see pictures and videos. Like you can look at it in any format that you want. But if you get a lot of information that comes in and it just feels like an undigestible amount of information, so perhaps you send that out to 100 people and you get, you know, in a great world, you might get 40 responses back in an amazing world, but that's 40 things that you'd have to go through line by line and try to draw connections. You can actually pull back from that. And instead of seeing it line by line, you can see the words that are used and the commonality of those words that are used, and you can sort through that information. So if we ask about how did that turnaround go, or how did that greatest production day ever, and people are talking about this piece of equipment, that's just equipment X, right? Equipment X malfunctioning, equipment X. Well, this was on, you know, this wasn't working well, and there was frustrations here. What you'd see in this word cloud around this question is equipment X. And then you'd see the words associated with it: frustration, explosion, concern, anger. Like you'd just, and you'd be like, huh, we should look at all of the things having to do with equipment X. And then you can actually go back to all the rest of the information of what people have put in and just search on what's happening with equipment X. And you look at it and you see all of the words associated with that. And you can look at all the details and then dive into the details of the videos. Or maybe you just want to ask a follow-up question and be like, hey, it seems like in that turnaround or whatever, you know, that production day, we are having frustrations with equipment X. Anyone who works on that, can you teach us what else is happening? And suddenly there's a whole lot of information. So now we know we have to get together because we got issues with equipment X, right? I don't exactly know what all, I have a whole lot of information of what I could pull from, but now let's go talk to each other. We got a red flag here. We got brittleness here. It's screaming. And so let's go talk about it.
Yeah. I think that's really amazing, because that's a question, right? Especially at a certain point in maturity on a company's HOP journey, is like, we get really good at using learning teams and kind of these different tools to gain operational intelligence after event has kind of already happened, right? And we want to kind of get into that pre-event learning piece and start going down the path to pain points and frustrations and brittleness and really trying to discover where to learn from. But a lot seem to struggle with, okay, where do I actually do that at? And as you said, I think that it just makes that a whole lot easier, right? And so back to a lot of the stuff that I rant about is that if we're going to call something a tool, it actually has to be helpful. Right? It actually has to help you accomplish something in need of accomplishing. And a lot of time in our organizational worlds, we call a lot of stuff tools, especially safety tools. I threw that out on LinkedIn one day and I got, yeah, and sometimes the safety guy, right? That's what I got back. I'm like, touche. Okay, good. I didn't think before I typed that out. But it really gives you that in, as we were kind of talking about, as an operational listening tool, to let you start to discover those things. Because I think a lot of folks out there are doing that, especially as they mature. They start going out and exploring with some of those questions. They're going out and spending time with those groups, kind of here and there and here and there. But I think it kind of multiplies that effort, where you might have one or two people that are just doing that because that's what they do, because they're crazy people like us, right? And they want to go out and learn as much as they can about normal work. But you can take that and spread that much farther and wider. And then for folks to be able to get that, and such a low barrier to entry to be able to put something in there, there's no headache. There's a minimal at best, right? I mean, there's just not a lot, right? That's what you guys say. It's like two clicks or something to kind of work through this. And then you know that that's going to feed into kind of these greater efforts of just creating overall organizational betterment. I think that's pretty powerful. That kind of incentivizes me to do that already. And I know that there's not going to be, it's not the same, right? I know that it's not the same. And then on the back end of that, you know, it gives us a really great starting point for deeper learning around these particular things. Back to kind of, I guess, before I rambled through that, back to the beginning of that, jumping off points for learning teams, right? Jumping off points for kind of deeper explorations around these things that are starting to emerge. And again, just looking at a word cloud, as you're kind of saying, and I've had the pleasure to kind of look at this. You guys have shown it to me a couple of times and it's super cool. You can just look at it and you don't have to sort a bunch, but you can, which is nice, but you can just automatically start to see the things that are pretty interesting. It presents information in a way that's
like easier for our brain to absorb. Yeah. That's all, right? It doesn't take away our brain. It's just, there's stuff happening here.
It's also like the ability to learn at scale is super challenging, and that's what this is solving for, right? So it's meant to be a chance to actually hear what's happening when nothing major is happening, when there's no event. It's just tell us what is going on day to day that we don't know about in a scale that is probably previously incredibly hard to hit or to get to, at least not with 17 clicks and led down a linear path. I mean, that's what we hear the most about.
Well, and I appreciate the fact too, that it's so, it's not so boxed in. And what I mean by that is, if you did have like a normal near miss kind of reporting structure, as all organizations have, or an event reporting thing, not only is it such a headache typically to get to it and then to start to do it, but then in addition to those, you know, 105 or 120 boxes or whatever that you're going to have to fill in the official digitized event report, right? It's just a paper form pulled over into, into a fillable form. It's just who, what, when, where, how, you know, and there's not a lot of free form to that, to where I can just tell you what I'm experiencing. Right? Right. There's not a lot of opportunity for me, you know, when it's just like, give me the address of where it happened. Tell me who was involved and tell me what the outcome was. Yeah.
What's amazing. It's not even, you don't even need that much in it because the software team, they're what they're really, really good at is knowing how to use unstructured data. Right. So they use behind the scenes data to help know where something's happening. And then the only thing they just ask the person to tell us what you see. And that's it. Like it could be through a voice to text or, I mean, it's picture or video. It's unstructured data and you don't have to, there's no radio button. Yeah. There's no, I don't even have to tell you what part of the organization I'm in. I have to tell you if it's a near miss or a concern or a thing. There's no thing to check. There's no box to check. It's just show me what you can see that we can't see. And that's it.
Yeah. And to me, it's that, you know, you have that bit where it's the general question. I mean, you can insert whatever question, but the box itself is kind of like, okay, what's up?
Right? Yeah, exactly.
To me, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this, but people generally, what I found, especially when you don't box them into just telling you a specific small portion of that information, they're going to already kind of internally sort and prioritize what's important to them from that thing, and giving them the freedom to prioritize that. Mm-hmm. Like, just give me a short blurb. They're usually going to tell you the most important thing to them in that particular moment for that particular situation. Usually. Right. And I think that freeform ability opens that up where our more traditional software systems or just approaches, again, just paper form pulled in the computer, it hasn't, right? We're looking for very specific information that we think we need to know in relation, especially to an event or a near event. So that, to me, that's an important piece of that is that you're just giving me a box, right? And I can tell you what I need to tell you. Yeah. And that's going to produce some really interesting comments.
Absolutely.
And I think pretty quickly, it just like with Hop, I mean, Hop oftentimes starts in the safety space, and then it quickly grows into quality, into operational upsets, into, you know, operator struggle. And so I think that they're going to see the same thing happening with this and more. And there's several different sites using it. They're going to see, whoa, we're also learning about these quality challenges or about these struggles we're having over here where we just can't ever seem to make rates. And so, you know, I've said this a bunch. I don't think we really have safety or quality problems. We mostly have operator struggles or operation struggles. And those things are kind of outcomes, right? So I think that this approach will make it possible to capture stuff that will also help us with, you know, our lean efforts to get better, right? And our quality efforts to get better. And so it's, once again, it's the voice of the worker, right? The people that are close to it, that they can sense, smell, and feel when things are not quite right. And we make it easy for them to bring that information forward. It does tighten up that feedback loop that we've been talking about. And Andy says all the time, right? The speed with which we learn and improve based on what is happening. Now we're able to tighten that loop up. And I think it's gonna help. It's gonna be interesting because I think that Andy and I and Matt now we do have to overcome a bit of the very bias. I know the biases that I have. I'm not real excited about a software tool, mm-hmm. but then you see this and go, wait a minute, this is not about the software tool. It's about a way to make it easy to capture operational sort of intelligence and information that we need directly from the people who do it.
Yeah. How can people learn more about Hoptimize?
There is a website, I believe it's Hoptimize, Hoptimize.com.
Yeah. So, cause good for spelling that, good for you, because my twang comes out, my Virginia Appalachian twang comes out, and people are like, optimize.com. I'm like, no, Hoptimize.
Apparently, hoptimize.beer.com is something different we found out when somebody was trying to find us. But Hoptimize, Hoptimize.com is.
So when you guys have the random conversation with people in the airport, like we all do, and, you know, and they're like, so Hop, so you do stuff with beer. Do you guys get that? Because I get that all the time. I kind of wish.
I'm not using the name. Yeah, I just, I either say HOP or I just, because you're right, because most of the time they'd be like, oh, so what beer distribution do you work with?
Sam, what I do when I travel is I wear my ball cap down like this and I have my earbuds in so that.
So nobody talks to you, sir? So signing up.
Celebrity Bob. Celebrity Bob.
It's my hibernation mode.
We'll have to get you some disguises. I'll get you, I don't know, like some good hats, some good wigs. Perfect. So to wrap things up, because we've been going for a second now, what are you guys seeing out there? So as you're kind of out and about traveling around, spending a bunch of time in the world, within organizations, what's on your radar? What are you seeing? I guess in kind of the current state of industry, what's standing out to you right now?
I'd say what's standing out to me is the fact that more recently, people very much outside of in organizational safety space are reaching out, whether that be people that are not in safety at all, but part of an organization, whether that be regulatory agencies from different countries, or whether that be state governments. So there's sort of this space outside of where we originated, right? I don't know. That seems to me, that's the first thing that pops into my head. Bob, is that what pops into your head in terms of like what is happening, what we're seeing happening out there in the world?
Yeah, so I like what Andy just said. We're seeing this move into some spaces that we weren't maybe anticipating, and that's good. And then on a very tactical boots on the ground, I'm seeing more and more people realizing that it's not about simplifying our crazy complex world. It's about getting better at managing complexity. And I'm not opposed. I mean, I like simplification efforts, but we're realizing that that is, we actually need to get better at managing complexity. The world's not getting less complex, it's getting more complex by the moment. And so so when I say that, I hope nobody, anybody that's listens to this, I hope they don't think that I'm against any of these simplification efforts. I'm not. But I just think that this complex world of work, more and more people are realizing it is not getting less complex, it's getting more complex. And then you throw into the middle of this, the great resignation, people leaving the industry like crazy and new people coming in, and the fact that we thought our procedures were so great, but now that we're falling apart because it really wasn't our procedures, it was our very adaptive people that just left, right? So I think that people are becoming, leaders for, specifically, they're becoming more aware and maybe a little bit more comfortable with, we've got to get good at this complexity thing. People that do the work, they already know this. They already know this is what they deal with it every day, right? They're the masters of those blue lines. They manage that stuff every day, right? All that variability. So that's what I'm seeing. It's very tactical, on boots on the ground. It's exciting to me to see leaders actually taking a breath and saying, all right, so we're going to have to know more details. We can't just have these sanitized PowerPoint slides with three bullet points on it. Show me that wall of discovery from a learning team and let me really understand. I think the first time I ever heard the term was from Andy, and I've not found it anywhere other than where we've said it, but maybe somebody else has said it too, but it's that notion of industrial empathy, right? Not sympathy, not feeling sorry for anybody. Not Tennessee, you don't feel sorry for people. Get on it, right? Get on with it. But empathy is different, right? Empathy is, and you know what? I walk a moment in your shoes. I'm a lot more curious and a lot less judgmental. And so the more we can sort of build on that curiosity and help set that judgmental piece aside, that's what I'm seeing. And little by little, but it is becoming, I think, more common.
Yeah. Hey, my view is so, it just always feels a little bit, I don't know, different and new. So the long story made as short as possible is I went to school thinking I was going to be a teacher. And then there was a hiring freeze in New York at that time, so you couldn't go into the workforce. So I started kind of in the business world for a long time, but I always ended up teaching and training people, whether it was whatever philosophy you're using or methodology across business. And that was a huge part of my job. And so when Andy and I started talking about me joining this group and helping with the training and the teachings and the learnings and the all this good stuff, I was initially like, I think it'll be good because I've trained a lot of people on a lot of things, but I don't know how much I'm going to understand this concept. And then when I started learning about operational fidelity, Taylorism, accountability, all these things that are just true in HOP, they're also incredibly true in every other part of the business world. And so what I'm seeing is something that I thought would be maybe difficult for me to pick up or understand, or at least be able to communicate and teach, is actually just fairly universal struggles that we deal with in industry, in work in general. So what I've been hearing most is just how universally applicable these ideas and philosophies are inside and outside of industry, work, whatever it is. They tend to really flow quite well into what we're doing all over the place,
which is really helpful. Because a few weeks ago, we were working with a company and we were starting to tell some safety example, and we looked around the room and everyone's kind of just giving us this face. And we're like, what role are you all in? And it turned out there wasn't one person in the room that had anything to do with the safety part of their business, or at least that was not their view of what their role was. And I don't know that any of the people that were in the room actually interfaced with how their product was made or even had seen their product be made, because that was generally outsourced. So I was like, okay, so I don't know that any of the examples that we would normally use, or only a few of them, are going to resonate. Matt?
Mm-hmm. I was like, they're nice work with, I'll tell you all about this stuff. And so, kind of brought a different lens to that. And it resonates. It does. It's the stories that we tell when we're doing a training. Yeah, they tend to be very safety forward, but they're very easy to see from a different lens very quickly and be, usually just as applicable in any other part that we're talking with. So any other team, vertical, sector, whatever it would be, it's quite fascinating to me. I thought there was going to be this kind of gap. I knew that I'd be able to share concepts, but I was like, that's gonna take me a really long time to make it relevant. And it's something I have to do. There are just kind of truths to how industry work operates.
Yeah, very true. And I've seen that quite a bit as well. And especially now, right? We're in such a wacky time. Businesses are in such a wacky time, and I've come across that quite a bit. Again, interested if you guys have, where there's a lot of businesses trying to do the same amount or more with a whole lot less, from a resourcing standpoint, from a personnel standpoint. And some of that I'm speculating is being driven by trying to make up maybe some losses throughout the pandemic, maybe the more interesting economic times we find ourselves in now at some of our organizations. And they're really leaning into some of these ideas, I think, from that stance now, where they're like, the world, back to your point, Bob, the world isn't getting any less complex. It's a strange time overall right now. It still seems, as we continue to emerge from stupid COVID, and as we continue to try to figure out what this looks like, what our business landscape looks like kind of moving forward. And so, yeah, I think it's a really interesting time, coupled with these ideas kind of expanding well beyond maybe that first scratch of the surface safety jump into an organization kind of piece. And it's happening, right? I've spent some time with some folks a week or two ago now, that just not kind of the same, not what you would expect. But then when you spend a few minutes talking to them and they're already kind of explaining how they're using some of these concepts, you're like, holy crap, I would have never thought about it that way. That's a great application of this. And even into some of the roles of folks kind of within organizations, from finance to HR to even human remains, right? Even HR starting to kind of embrace some of these concepts into their world. It's pretty interesting. I find that wildly interesting to see its kind of growth, kind of like wildfire throughout organizations. Once they get a taste of it, they quickly realize it, like, well, maybe safety is just the beginning.
You can't unsee it.
I think that even goes back to your point, Andrea, about folks kind of, you know, wee hours of the night laying there, you know, kind of playing in the community, right? It's like you can't unsee it, and then it sucks you in, and that's it. You're here. You're here now.
And Sam, it really does feel like, to me, it's becoming it feels like an industrial reformation, not a revolution. There's a lot of really good stuff we do, and there's a lot of things that we do that needs a little reshaping. And so we, you know, we're really big on don't throw everything out. You know, Andy said, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, which right now I'm out there in the weeds looking for the baby because I threw them all out together. And I know that baby's out there somewhere, but I got to dry it off and bring it back in the house because I threw everything out there, right? So I think that it is an industrial reformation, and it's really cool because it'll lose a lot of people in this space now, and they're all thinking and helping each other. And so there's nobody in charge of it, but we're all in charge, which is kind of the tragedy of the commons, which means it may all fall apart at some point, but we hope not. We hope that we build enough inertia that this is the way that we tend to do things. And then it's the anomaly when we have somebody that is like pushing into this blame space or whatever. And, you know, we even share with people that blame fixes nothing principle is more of a blame is a waste of our resources. Mm-hmm. Blame fixes nothing is really clever and it makes a nice tattoo. But the blame waste resources, when you stop and think about it, that's what we're saying. Because I mean, Andy said this a bunch. Every minute we spend on sort of the blame space is a minute we lost towards making things better. You know, seeking to understand. So all of this stuff is still changing. And I think hopefully it'll continue to change. And I'm just excited, Sam, that you're a part of this and that you're doing, you know, you're helping to spread this thinking and help people on this path as well. So as my Aussie friends just say, good on you, mate. keep it up, keep doing it, and keep sharing this stuff. And thanks for taking time to have us on your podcast.
Happy to have you guys here. And it feels like this should have happened already, right? Where we kind of got everybody together, but the world's crazy, life's crazy, just doesn't
quite. We can only blame it on stupid COVID.
It's stupid COVID. That's good. That's completely what it is. And I really appreciate your points on the kind of this industrial reformation, Bob, because I think there's power in figuring it out, and that's kind of what we're doing, right? There's not some ABC thing that we're just trying to throw out there and follow. It's we're trying to actively figure it out as we go, learn as we go, all in those efforts of just trying to make things better, right? Trying to get there, and I think that's important. And I'll even tie that back into hopcommunity.org. If folks want to check that out, is that's a great place to kind of share those learnings and kind of push that rock up that hill, kind of, if you will, even though I guess the knowledge will make the rock maybe grow a little bigger as we push it, but you get more people pushing on the rock at the same time. Right.
a lot of hands though, right?
Cause yeah, get none a lot of hands
know
on
how
the rock.
To do all this. None of us know how to make, we're all just struggling to make one small difference, right? Isn't that the Ellen Goodman quote, Bob, that Ellen Goodman, I think one of her quotes is, I've never been especially impressed by the heroics of people convinced they're about to change the world. Mm-hmm. I am more awed by those who struggle to make one small difference. And honestly, I think that's what all of us in the space are trying to do. None of us have everything figured out. We hardly have anything figured out. All we know is that, we're changing things and some things seem to work really well when they're changed. So let's try to do that and continue to do that and continue to share what we're learning. And
yeah. Everybody working on their one little corner and then connecting those corners to the community.
We have one quote on our board, which is be curious, not judgmental. Walt Whitman, Ted Lasso. So that's a way of thinking about it. That's kind of our driving principle every day. Just
love it.
Curiosity, right?
Love it. How can, I think most might know, most folks are listening, but for those folks that don't know, how can they find you guys? How can they get in contact with you?
Not an airport because I'm gonna get my hat down.
If you throw our names in, if Hop and our names get thrown into Google in some sort of order, we'll pop up somewhere. So yeah,
there you go.
Super easy to find.
Easy. Like it. Cool. Well, let's throw this out there because this is my infamous kind of famous. I don't know. Last question that I ask everybody. Any final words? And it sounds like an executioner's question. I don't know how I ended up into using that question, but I'll throw that out there. It's just anything that you want to share with folks out there, anything that's kind of you're seeing that you know, pro tips, whatever, anything you want for folks that out there within the community and kind of beyond. We get a lot of folks that are operational leaders, some safety folks all across the map within organizations. So anything you'd want to share with them?
Great, Andy.
Man,
big question. Right?
All my good bits of information. I don't know how many. I think the notion that kind of we're all in this together. You know, Bob, I love when you say this. So we can say it together, Bob, because I don't want to take it away from you in case you were planning on saying it. But Bob says this all this time. We humans created this mess. We can get ourselves out of it. So we're all in it together.
Matt, what do you think?
Thank you.
You can say pass is an answer.
I think Bob and Andy have said incredible things. So my last words are thank you for having us.
Yeah.
And so Sam, my final thoughts on this podcast is actually a question. Did your daughter do the blue heart behind you? Is that her artwork?
That is her artwork. Yeah.
So tell her it is my favorite of all the cool things on the shelf behind you. The blue heart is my favorite.
Blue heart is one of my favorites too. And I think I'm covering up, but I'm already getting, I'm not quite ready for this yet, but I'm already getting Christmas drawings. So I haven't taken down the Halloween decorations yet. So I don't, I'm a Halloween person. I'm not the Christmas person in the family, but she is. So she makes up for my,
Thanks for having us, Sam.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys for coming on. It's awesome. We'll have to do it again sometime. And I know not only for me, but from everyone out there that's listening to this podcast, just a sincere thank you to all three of you for what you do for this community and your efforts out there. It's greatly appreciated, not only by myself, but again, by everyone that's kind of in this community. So thank you for that. And that's it.